Hello, metalheads, and welcome to another Nine Circles audio thing. This is the album of the month for May 2021. Our album this month is As the Morning Dawns, We Close Our Eyes, by the band In Autumn for Crippled Children. As always, I'm your host, Puke, and I've assembled a team of the best metal writers the internet has to offer. So let me introduce them to you now. First off, I have to kick it right to her because she's our new graduate. The master's program has been cursed to the bowels of hell. So long. Thanks for nothing. Peace out. Hera, hello. How are you today?
For the first time ever, I wish I did my master's degree in a different country because it means I could get a sword or a battle axe.
I saw that. I've seen that.
Whoa. You can't just say they give you a battle axe and then not elaborate on that.
Okay, so there is, in some institutions in Europe, if you complete your master's or your PhD, your doctorate degree, you can get a sword. And for the first time ever, I've never experienced so much envy in that moment. And all I've ever wanted now is a battle axe. Thank you.
I want an axe.
Say what you want about Europe. There's some things that they just do right.
Yeah, and one of them is giving you a sword when you graduate.
It might be actually the only thing.
To make it better, in our own Anton's native homeland of Finland, when you graduate with a doctorate, Finland gives you a sword and the top hat.
No way!
Yes,
that sounds awesome, and that's hilarious.
So you walk off. So you walk across stage like the most dapper man or woman alive.
I want a sword.
That's awesome.
We need to get you a sword and a top hat.
Yeah,
we're starting a Patreon. It's going to Kickstarter. Give Hera a sword fund.
Right.
And
I also do know how to fight with the sword, so it might be best not to give me one.
Yes.
Well, Hera, we've been saying it to you for weeks, and I'll say it again. I speak for all of us here again. Congratulations. I know it's an immense honor for you and your family. So
first graduate with a master's degree in a foreign country. Woo!
You know, to come to a foreign country to let alone to live here, but to graduate high school, to graduate college, you know, all these accomplishments, but to get a freaking master's, my God, that's the American dream right there.
Hi.
That is awesome.
It's me, the American dream. And I'm still coming for your kneecaps.
Take some grit.
Yeah, she is still coming. Look at that. Well, again, that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
And you just heard him there. It wouldn't be a Nine Circles monthly chat without him. Vince, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm a little sad that I don't have a sword and or top hat, but other than that, I'm doing all right.
Okay. Well, we can maybe get you one too out of the funds.
Yeah, yeah.
Stretch goals.
Yep.
Stretch goals. Get Vince a sword.
And you know, I don't know about that.
And with a beard that blows away mine, that would really accentuate a top hat, is Ian. Yes. Hey. And get him a monocle and look like we can go rob some trains.
When I was in high school, and by extension, when we were all in high school, I went to go get my outfit for prom, and there was an option with the tux that I rented to get a cane and a top hat. And my mom said no. And I threatened to call DCFS on her if she wouldn't get a cane and a top hat to go with my prom outfit. I didn't win that battle, but
was it one of the Dumb and Dumber colors? Like, was it orange or blue?
It was blue, actually.
Yeah.
You did win the infamous Sour Patch Kids battle.
It was Swedish Fish, and yes, I did. I wanted candy really badly. We were grocery shopping. I told my mom, "Hey, can
here's
I
an candy? Okay. You're missing the most. You're missing the most critical piece. The
end. Yeah, the context comes at the end, right? Wanted candy. Asked my mom if I could have some. She said no. I said I'll throw a tantrum if you don't get me this candy. And she said, "Okay, I don't think you're actually going to do it." And then I did. And the context is I was 18 years old when this happened. So there's an 18-year-old, essentially an adult, on the ground, kicking and screaming that his mom won't buy him candy. She called my bluff, and then she ended up being on the hook for the candy. So
she did actually do it, though. She was kind of impressed.
Yeah.
What was the candy, though?
Oh, Swedish Fish. One of my favorites.
Just grab it and stick it in my pocket and then walk out, and it's fine.
I'm not a shoplifter. I'm an emotional manipulator. Only to one person on the planet. Only to my mother. Because she's easy.
Well,
you heard it here first.
Yes,
kids.
While I like Swedish Fish, I don't know if I would throw a temper tantrum for them. I may throw temper tantrums for like some gummy worms.
Ooh, gummy worms.
Yeah, I was going to say, what candy would you risk it all for?
Jolly Ranchers.
Ooh. I miss lemon Jolly Ranchers. Hey, welcome to our podcast. Yeah. Whatever happened to lemon Jolly Ranchers?
Yeah, so this is a metal podcast again, and we are discussing our album of the month again, As the Morning Dawns, We Close Our Eyes. This band, An Autumn for Crippled Children, I would be lying if I said I knew these guys prior to our monthly choice here, but that's what makes Nine Circles so good. It's a plethora of new artists for all those involved. So, Vince, tell us a little bit about this album, bud, and this band.
So this pick is essentially my revenge on all of you, because I have been forced so many times on this show to talk about Tech Death and about prog that when
and yet you come willingly, so you can't say that.
But when we were trying to come up with what album we were going to do this month, I decided to pick this one so that I could force you all to listen to Shoegaze. So this band is really interesting, I think. They are exceedingly prolific, which even I kind of wasn't aware of. I think the last time that I checked out anything that they did before this was Try Not to Destroy Everything That You Love, which was from like 2017, I think. Mm. And I remember sort of bouncing off of that album a little bit. It didn't really stick with me at the time. And then I sort of forgot about these guys. And I assumed that that meant that they hadn't put anything out. But they've put out like four albums in between then and now.
You didn't check out the one that they put out last year?
I didn't even know that it happened until I was doing research for this album. I thought that this was like the first thing that they'd put out in a long time.
Nah, bro.
But it also came out in May of last year, so there was a lot of stuff happening.
There's a lot of shit happening.
That's true.
But there's still a lot of shit happening. We're still in a pandemic, ladies and gentlemen.
That's true. We cannot forget that as good as the prognosis is for most things, we are not out of the woods yet.
Correct.
But this album is like comfort food to me. This album speaks my language. I am a huge fan of any kind of like romantic sort of gazy post black metal. And this hits a lot of the notes that I really want in stuff that I listen to. It does something kind of interesting wherein I think that it takes the sort of like shoegaze meets black metal formula. And it leans a little bit more heavy on the shoegaze than on the black metal. So essentially what you get is an album with metal song structures that is performed by like shoegaze musicians. So you have like these like tremolo riffs with like really fuzzy guitars, and then you have like like shimmery sort of keyboards filling in everything to give you that like wall of sound, sort of fuzzy, impressionistic sort of feel to the mood of these pieces. But on the whole, it's really, really good. I really like this album.
You know, Vince, listening to this, my friend, going right into it initially when I, you know, read the description, I, not knowing this subgenre really well, pretty practically not at all, I thought I was going to be in for like what I come to think of as like Def Heaven right away.
I would argue that's probably a fair assessment. Most people think of Sunbather when they think of
But the thing is, though, listening to this, it quickly changed that for me, because maybe Def Heaven leans a little more into the post-black metal sound of things,
for
right?
Sure. Okay.
Like, there's a pretty obvious lack of, like, blast beats on As the Morning Dawns. It has a little bit more of like sort of a, there are parts of the songs that are almost like dancey in the way that they groove.
There are dance beats all over the place.
And the only sort of overt metal in the rhythms is the occasional like double bass drum that sort of like tracks in with the guitar lines and stuff. But yeah, it leans a little bit less in the metal direction, and it feels almost like an indie album performed with metal vocals.
To say they're like similar to Ghost Bath, would that be fair or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Ghost Bath are not at all.
I haven't kept up with Ghost Bath in a while.
Ghost Bath are much more heavy into like the black metal.
They really like their shrieking, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're the stylistically, they are
okay.
They're much closer to black
because
metal.
Because this to me, this was very shrieking.
In the vocal department,
is that typical of this shoegaze style?
I would say it's typical of a lot of black metal in general. Like that's probably where this album is the most overtly black metal is in the vocal department.
When we're talking strict shoegaze, it's just the way that the music is done is shoegaze, but the vocals are very black metal-esque.
Yeah.
They're shrieking. For sure. Shoegaze, in most shoegaze, the vocals are very like low, kind of soft. Here, not so much.
Okay.
Like in there's one band that for whatever reason this album made me think of the most isn't even a metal band. It's this new wavy sort of gothy shoegaze band called The Pains of Being Pure at Heart. Which I think it's the keyboards mostly that give me that same sort of vibe. But that's the band that I think.
Well, there's post-punk vibes all over the place here.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. But I mean, specifically like the way that the keyboards are used sort of reminds me the most of The Pains of Being Pure at Heart, which is like maybe an odd stretch to compare this album to, but that's just where I found myself going a lot of the time.
I don't think it's that odd. I look at this as being, like you said, it's dance music, it's post-punk and shoegaze with, you know, sprinkles of black metal thrown on top of it, and not the other way around. It's much more heavily rooted in pop than it is metal. It is
an expansion of what they did in the last album from 2020.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot more dream. There's a lot more of like synth wave and dream pop involved in this album as opposed to. So it expands basically in what happened last album. It's like, here's a continuation of what we find here. Mm. And here's that album.
Yeah. Maybe that's the context that I was missing, because I haven't kept up with them in a number of years. So
I don't necessarily know that this is a band that you need to keep up with They kind of only do one album, and they put out that one album every year or so. But if you like that album, then who cares? Yes. You know, it's they have nothing at all in common with Amon Amarth, but it's the same feelings that I have about Amon Amarth. They make one
Amon
album.
Amon Amarth is very, very good at one thing.
They make one album that they release roughly every 2 to 3 years. But I like that album, so I still get excited every time it comes out.
Right.
And yeah, for the record, their 2020, an Autumn for Crippled Children's 2020 album, all fell silent. Everything went quiet, or maybe
no,
it's
that,
the
that's
other
silent,
way around.
Everything went quiet.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's that, or it's the other way around. But either way, that album, I ended up putting it on my like one of the best of lists that I wrote because I like it so very much. But yeah. I don't think As the Morning Dawns is much more, it's not a progression of their sound in any one particular direction. It's just more.
It's a triptych of their, I guess, their tone, right? Where you have one, you have your black metal in the middle, you have your nice post, and then you have your synthwave.
Yeah.
So it's like black metal, shoegaze. Dream pop,
right? But it's not even—it's not even like you have one album that exemplifies each of those things. It's just kind of more of the same stuff that they always do. Which, yeah. Again, for the record, I'm not dissing that because I buy it hook, line, and sinker every time because they do it so well. They do it so well.
It's comfort food for people who like black metal but don't really want to go too deep into it because for some reason they don't like it or. It's just not their thing, but like Autumn for Crippled Children is like something I would recommend to somebody who is trying to get into black metal, but don't really want to get into it.
Black metal with training wheels.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I think this would be a decent one, I think, for anybody who's sort of interested but hesitant to dive
into. The thing is, I am probably that person by definition. You know, black metal is not my thing, but. Mm. The black metal that hooks me, and we'll talk about them later with like Panopticon and stuff.
Oh, we will.
Is that there is black metal that is not the screeching like this is.
Yeah.
Is it the vocals specifically that turn you off?
That's it. That's the only problem.
Fair enough.
Okay. Because it is the same thing. Death Heaven, at first, like when I know I keep going back to them because
it's a good analog.
But like when I first listened to Death Heaven, I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. But
have you listened to Alcest?
I have, yes.
Okay.
Yes, same good comparison. When the vocals stop in Death Heaven and then the music is playing, it hooks you. It's like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing here. It's just. Mm-hmm. For me personally, the vocals are just so screechy. It's just like,
Have you listened to later Death Heaven when George sort of varies up his vocal performance a little bit more?
I haven't. It did not hook me as much. And
oh, so Sunbather is what your preference is.
You're muted.
It's not so much Sunbather is my favorite. I'm more of a New Bermuda fan.
I was going to say New Bermuda's.
All right.
Because that's the album that they made when everyone said, this isn't a metal band. And they went, oh yeah? And then they made New Bermuda.
And then they proceeded to put thrash riffs and everything.
Uh-huh. Like Brought to Water, I think is a perfect song.
I don't think that they are a band that misses when they shoot. I've seen a lot of people try to, especially New Bermuda for some reason ruffles people's feathers a lot, but I almost appreciate the fact that they didn't try to make Sunbather 2.0.
But that's why it ruffles people's feathers, because that's what they wanted.
Exactly. But the first time I heard Dreamhouse, I'm like, oh, this is not for me.
I had exactly the opposite reaction. Although I will say, the vocals on the Autumn for Crippled Children album are not my preference when it comes to what I want from black metal vocals. I think that if I had to sort of pick a part, that would be sort of my least favorite aspect of their musical equation. But everything else that they do enamors me enough to where I can sort of put that to the side.
Well, the vocals have never been a highlight for an Autumn for Crippled Children. They've always been like the add-on.
Right.
It's the music you come for. You don't come for the vocals.
They get buried.
The atmosphere.
They get buried in the sort of the
wall of sound,
the whooshiness of everything,
the vacuum
enough
cleaner.
To where you can kind of let them, at least I can kind of let them go a little bit.
It kind of goes back to a conversation that we cyclically have in the group chat about, you know, what is the point of, or I guess what is it that you pay attention to the most in songs? And for me, I specifically seek out bands that don't sing in English because I don't care about lyrics and I don't care about like vocals so much. I specifically, there's only one band that I can think of that I truly genuinely care about the lyrics for. That's not even a metal band. Everybody else, I honestly kind of prefer when I don't understand the words because I feel like that allows the voice to be another instrument. So like a good vocal melody hooks me, but I don't necessarily care about the lyrics. And I kind of enjoy when the vocals get buried deep down in the mix because I'm not really paying much attention to them anyway. And yeah, that's kind of like my favorite album from last year had the screechiest vocals of anything that I've ever listened to in my life. And
right,
but the way that everything was mixed, they weren't very prominent. And it ultimately, in my mind, it helped serve the song.
Right.
So I kind of feel like that's what they do here.
Ara's vocals and An Autumn for Crippled Children's vocals are sort of on either side of the precipice for me, where Ara's were like just a bit too shrieky for me to really get into. But An Autumn for Crippled Children are like just under the point where I'm like, all right, I can't take this. And to be honest, I find myself paying much more attention to the keyboards in these songs than I do anything else, because I think it's really rare for me to say that about, you know, a black metal album that I listen to, because I'm not generally a fan of keyboards in black metal because it usually means it's going to be something like symphonic and like really cheesy. But I really like the sort of dancey post-punk keyboards in this a lot. I think they add like the je ne sais quoi that takes this album to the next level for
me. Well, that's their shtick. That's their brand. Yeah.
Again, I am less familiar with this brand than most of you, I think. So this was sort of a sleeper hit for me.
See, I pay attention to the vocals. That's always because that's what my ear goes. And sometimes it goes to like the guitars or the bass line. So for me, with black metal, I have to shift my brain a little to pay attention to everything but the vocals. Because sometimes the vocals are either a hit or a miss, and some people do it well and some people suck at it. So, you know. For Autumn for Children, it's always the background. It's the atmosphere. That's what their stick is.
Yeah, that's fair.
Vince, how are these guys in this realm? Are these guys like the top dogs in this?
I don't know that I would say that. They've been around for a long time. Like this is their, they have an insane amount of albums under their belt. And they've been like going since like 2012.
This is their ninth album. Their debut Lost came out in 2010.
Yeah. So they've been going for like 11 years. I feel like they're a band that's always been quietly flying just under the radar.
Yeah.
Like I hear people talk about them. I hear people give them praise, but when it comes to people making like best of lists, I don't generally see them there on like certain ones for sure, but I wouldn't say that they're like top dogs or like leaders of the pack, but they're stalwarts. I think they've always kind of been there.
There is no other band that quite sounds like them. Like we throw around, you know, adjacent bands, but like there is nobody who really does the same thing that they do in the same way.
The closest I can think of is a band called Unrequited.
Oh yeah. But they have their own sort of more symphonic and like not symphonic, orchestral thing.
Yeah. They're less shoegazy, I think. This is like very much like 70 shoegaze, 30 black metal.
Yeah, I would say Unrequited are probably the band that comes closest to them, but even they don't come that close.
No, I think Disquiet is the album that comes closest to what Autumn for Crippled Children's done, because everything after Disquiet is very much orchestral.
Right.
Big sound, big walls of sound. Here it's like atmospheric. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between what we know as atmospheric black metal and just your standard everything else, it's kind of just like you come here for the atmosphere and what they're doing. Oh, and Buke, by the way, the color for this is curdle, is like the color of curdled milk.
I was going to be asking you that.
Is that okay? I also, Hera, I completely understand where you're coming from because I also experienced the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
For me,
it's the color of curdled milk.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I know exactly what you're talking about when you say that because it is the color of curdled milk. It's like with a little, for me, it's a little bit like light blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like baby blue.
It also had blue.
Yeah. Oh God, this is so cool. I've never met anybody
this
else.
This was
except
my
the two
reaction,
like...
Vince, when Hera told me this on the last technically inclined
episode.
For context,
for people who have not heard the tech death.
Well, also go listen to that episode.
Yeah, what are you doing listening to this podcast? Go listen to a different episode of this podcast.
Yeah, it's the color of curdled milk with the blue in it.
I've never met anybody else who understands what I say when I what I mean when I say shit like that. And like,
it's so sometimes cool, sometimes I can tell what key a song is in because of what color I hear when I listen to the music.
If it's in E flat, it's like maroon. If it's in D, it's brown.
Yeah, stuff like that. But this album is like curdled milk with a little bit of baby blue. Yeah, on top of it.
That's exactly what this is.
But no, yeah, they do one thing, but they do that one thing really well. Yes. And nobody else really is, I would say, in their territory. They're still this like rich vein of emotion that they just keep going back down and mining it every so often. They just mine a little bit more of that vein and then they take it up to the surface and process it. And
they're
then,
very good at that texture thing.
Yes, you know? they are extremely good at what they do, which is not a diverse range of things, but they've got the one.
They got
thing
that niche down.
They've got their proportions dialed in just right.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hitting that vein, they have that Minecraft seed just right.
Yes.
Okay. This is eight tracks. So everybody, let's share some favorites that we have here. Ian, you were just talking last. Let's go to you, bud.
Track
on
Melancholia for sure. Melancholia for sure. Close second would probably be the title track.
Okay. Hera, do you have a favorite, ma'am?
I like the first track a lot. That was the first one I heard, and I was like, okay, we're back in business, I guess. And I think I'm looking because I'm like, I don't remember. And I think either the second or the title track for me as a close second are also good.
And Vince.
My favorites are track two, which is called Of Your Light. And Melancholia is also really, really high up there for me. Also, the title track too is really good.
Yeah,
you know. But I kind of like when things lean into that sort of sappy territory on this.
This is the sappiest album.
My favorites are definitely Of Your Light and Melancholia.
Yeah, it's a very, very sappy album, and that's the word that I've been trying to think of to describe it that I could not think of until you said
it's sappy.
Well, I will admit I could not make it all the way through this album, so I am not going to do a disservice. Yes.
It's only like it's not hard to make it to the end of it.
Taste
it's only
my
like a
steal.
It's a scant 30 minutes.
It's like 35
can
minutes.
Can we also give it up for an album that knows when to get in and get out and get its business done?
Yeah. Like, it does not overstay its welcome.
We fucking love to see it.
It should be also noted too that this is a Prosthetic Records release also.
Prosthetic's been doing work all year.
Another
so.
One.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they really have.
Have I mentioned Pupil Slicer yet? Because we could talk about Pupil Slicer some more.
No, you haven't.
So
it's like pizza slicer or dinosaurs? Which
pick? What are we? Card. What Ian are we gonna get today?
Well, we did dinosaurs before we started recording, so.
So you get both.
So you get both.
The 2-for-1 Memorial Day special.
Pick your bingo card for B under B4. It's dinosaurs, and then
oh my god,
G7. It's pupil slicer.
So that was As the Morning Dawned, We Close Our Eyes by In Autumn for Crippled Children. That was our album of the month for May 2021. We will now move on to everybody's favorite segment of the pod, where we talk about what else we've been listening to for the month of May. And like I started the introductions, we're going the same order. Hera, you are up first.
All right. I have a list. So wow. After I submitted my exam in May, what kept me going was, of course, Gojira's Fortitude. And also, I hate both of you, Amarnik twins. You both suck. You're both wrong.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would just like to make a point, because I felt attacked personally listening to that last episode. I would just like to say, for the record, I don't need them to give me another From Mars to Sirius or another The Way of All Flesh. I just need them to give me an album that doesn't bore me, and Fortitude bored me.
I need them to give me another Way of All Flesh.
Bored me too.
Yeah,
you're wrong.
Look, The Way of All Flesh has one of the single greatest guitar riffs ever written in it.
I agree.
Ever written. Like the intro to Toxic Garbage Island is undefeated.
Pain is killing me, bro.
Pain is killing me. Plastic Bag in the Sea. Just, if you could just please do that again, that would be so great for me.
I mean, it is, Fortitude is a segue for Magma. I feel like it's going to lead somewhere else. I don't really know where it could. So you could get something else from back their catalog. But as I've stated before on this podcast and in other episodes as well, a band is a lot to evolve their sound.
Yeah.
Okay, with the direction that they're going in. Fortitude may be at the top of my album of the year this year, unless something else comes up. But other than that, I like Gojira, and you all can suck my non-existent dick. So screw you both.
There you go. I love it. In big, other album. All caps, bold text.
Yeah. In like size 16 font. Other albums that I listened to in May are, I finally caught up with Epica's new album, Omega. So if you like your symphonic metal, that's your go-to. I love Epica a lot. I loved them since I was 13. And so, of course, I'm still liking that band. Other albums, I have so many that were not released to share on this list. But three others that I also wanted to highlight are New Amorphis. Their live album came out. I really like it. It made me miss concerts, and I miss seeing that band live. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to Live at Helsinki Ice Hall, you should do that.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. Another album I want to highlight is the new Vola, Witness. If you like your prog with some interesting Dient influences, you should do that. They also have a rap song in the middle of their album, which is really good and also really weird. And then I like my weird, so it doesn't really matter. I'm okay.
To be fair,
it's good.
I've had that happen before and end up actually liking it. So
I just really wish that people could see, as soon as the words "if you like your prog" left Hera's mouth, the look on Vince's face was unbelievably choice.
No, don't worry, there's more.
I could see his eyes roll back into his head so far that the whites were just beaming out.
Do I care? Absolutely not. But yeah, I like Vola. The new album is a really good follow-up to their last album from 2018. So if you really like that, you should listen to this one. It's good. Another one, I think Vince will like this one, is by a band called Hadid. The album title is With Joy and Ardor Through the Inconsumable Path. If you like your death metal with a little bit of sludge, with a little bit of black, you should listen to that album too.
I checked that one out sight unseen, because I saw you post about it on Instagram, and I was like, that sounds like exactly what I'm in the mood for. And guess what?
I was actually going to talk about that album, because I do really like it.
Yay!
It's it's the kind of blackened death metal that you know, but with a little bit of cosmic, a little something something there's in there little, that you don't get little, all the time.
There's a little like eldritch horror in there.
Yeah.
It's blurry around the edges, whereas it's, more bands would go in like a crisp, clear, well-defined sort of way.
And they are just grimy as fuck.
Yes.
It is grimy as fuck, and they give you stuff that you don't expect with it. Right. It's a really, really solid album.
Yes. And then two more, because it's May, and I finally caught up to some music. Another one I want to highlight is by a band called, I hope I can pronounce this right, Måneskin. The album is called Teatro de Ida, Volume 1. They are the Eurovision winners this year.
Oh, those. Italy. Yeah. Okay.
And their Teatro de Ida, or Theater of Wrath, is their latest album. It is a more grime, like, not clean, but like grimier version of what they've been doing so far. And it's like them, and it's really good. If you like your 80s, 70s, like, rock feel, like the sound of a good bootleg from that time, this is your band. They're really good. I like this album. You all should go listen to that one. And last but not least is Inferno's Paradigma, Phosphonies of Aphotic Eternity, which if you like your death metal to be a little bit grimy, you should listen to that, my friend. And that's all I've got for you.
Solid recommendations. Vince, what do you got, bud?
Yeah, not a lot. This month, I think I kind of found myself struggling to keep up with new releases for a while. So I have a few that I wanted to highlight that I listened to, and a couple that I wanted to talk about that I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to listen to. We already talked about the Hadid album. You should definitely go listen to that. Sentient Ruin is, again, one of those labels that's just consistently putting out fire this year.
They're doing so much good shit. I love Sentient Ruin.
They really are. The main one that I wanted to talk about that I did listen to is a split release between two bands called See You Space Cowboy and If I Die First.
Fuck yeah, man. Nice.
The album is called A Sure Disaster, and it makes me feel like I have stepped into a time machine and come out face to face confronting my high school self. This is five tracks of full on absolute MySpace core revival. It is
God.
Fucking funny to me.
And like, it's wonderful.
It is wonderful. Like, the centerpiece of the album is a collaborative track between the two bands, and if you blindfolded me and made me listen to that song and told me that it came out in 2007, I would have uncritically believed you. It is absolutely timeless, and it is so fucking fun. I had an absolute blast. I have listened to Bloodstained Eyes, I think, like, every day for 2 months now. It is so fucking good, and it is so hilarious to me. I'm riding this wave so hard. I really, really hope that more bands just decide to make it sound like it's like 15 years ago again.
Are you gonna write something about that Wrist Meat Razor album that comes out in June?
Absolutely. If I can get my hands on the promo, absolutely.
It's on the list. You should sign up for it.
Yeah, I'm very, very high into the advanced tracks from that too, and it does very much the same thing. Like, that first single that they dropped is like, they went from being like a little bit more scramsy to being a, like, full-on Killswitch Engage worship.
Yeah, like Killswitch Engage meets Old Atreyu.
Yeah, and I'm very into it. Oh, I'm very here for it. It reminds me of my glory days. It's a weird thing to say because I fucking hated every second of my high school existence, but that was when I feel like I was at the peak of my power. And then
high school Cat would have really loved to be friends with high school Vince.
I probably would have been your friend too.
Yeah.
There's a couple that I haven't gotten around to yet, but I'm very excited to have a chance to listen to. One of them's a new one from Grave Miasma. I like everything that Grave Miasma has done. I've heard a lot of good things about this. I think Josh speaks pretty highly about it, and Josh knows death metal, so I trust him in all things. I am also like very excited to get around to listening to the new Yautja album, because it's been like a century since they put anything out. And since this is going to be a very convenient segue, I'm also very excited to put on the new Panopticon album.
Dude, you should
I'm waiting for the moment to be right. Like, I need to get the vibes right to put that on, because I only have one chance to listen to it the first time, and I love Panopticon so fucking much, and I need that first experience to be like as perfect as possible.
Yeah, you need to be in the right frame of mind for it, because it's mind-blowingly good.
Yeah.
And I similarly love everything that he puts out. I was not expecting to have mixed feelings about this one, but I don't think I was prepared for it to be like the best thing that he's ever put out. And I don't think I was prepared for it to be like the best thing that I've heard all year, because I've spoken very highly of Pupil Slicer, and I've spoken very highly of Capra, and certainly those will end up in the top three spots this year. I was not expecting anything to unseat them, and again, Into the Light did in like unquestioningly unseat them. It's a thing of beauty. It's a breathtakingly good album. And I'm kind of at a loss for words for how to describe it. Like, Embers at Dawn is the best song that's been put out this year. And
you know, Ian, maybe can I help you?
Please, please help me.
Because as a fan of them, there is just something about atmospheric black metal that I love. That, you know, I love listening to Panopticon. Like I said in the group chat, when I am out hunting, there are just so many moments in this, and I hate to be cliche like this because it sounds cheesy, but there are so many moments in this where you can just close your eyes and the music just takes you.
That's the beauty of what he does. The beauty of what
my first experience listening to this album was driving. My first experience listening to this album was driving home from a buddy's house at night in like the quiet darkness, and it was like gently raining, and that alone sort of helped open up the emotional floodgates that I didn't even realize were closed when I put on that album. But holy shit. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It has everything that you've come to love about Panopticon, just perfected even more. There's really no other way to really describe it. It has all the sounds, all the instruments, all the soulful singing, the harsh vocals, the sounds of nature. If you just read the vocals, you know, heart-wrenching vocals, and it's just everything there, and it's an amazing album.
It reminds me the most of Autumn Eternal. It's got that same. The bluegrass influences have been toned down in the same way that they have on Autumn Eternal. There's like an opening song that's acoustic, and the Embers at Dawn begins life as like an acoustic ballad with Eric Mogridge doing guest vocals, which is Eric Mogridge. I love Aerial Ruin. Don't get me wrong. I love Aerial Ruin, but Eric Mogridge to me fills the same role as like a like a Big Sean or one of those types. Like any song that features him is automatically better because he does guest vocals on it. And I almost get more excited when I see him doing guest vocals on someone else's song than I do when I see a new Ariel Ruin release. But
he's the goat. He's just I didn't know he was on this one.
Oh yeah.
Ian, for me when it clicked, even though I knew it always would, when Dead Loons comes on, track two. It's
But that's the thing. Like, it was the same for me. Like I knew it would click. I knew that I knew that I was gonna like this album. I knew I was gonna love it. Because how could I not? But I was not prepared. Like there is a moment, even if you go into it knowing that you're gonna love it, there is a moment where it clicks. And Dead Loons is definitely a good choice. For me, it was The Embers at Dawn. That's when it clicked.
Okay.
And you find yourself like crying in your car on the way home from work. This is a really weird headspace.
You know what? When I was really blown away, even before you get to that point, Ian, when it gets to Moth Eaten Soul,
the death metal song,
it is just like a train just boom hitting you. And it's amazing.
Yeah,
I have the rest of my day planned out now.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a long sojourn around my neighborhood and listen to this album.
When you realize that this is just one man's passion project going into this, it is amazing. And you know, like you can go on Bandcamp and you can read, you know, apparently this was a really hard album for him to write and talk. It's
an album that's about personal failure, and that's a tough thing to listen to someone speak very honestly about. Even if you can't understand the lyrics, if you know that these are songs that he's singing about all the points in his life where he's felt like he's failed the people that he cares the most about in the world, it's a really hard thing to listen to somebody talk about.
Like, you just read the notes on Bandcamp, and Austin put something on here. To those I have let down or disappointed in my 37 years on this earth, please accept this work as my recognition of a need to change, grow, and atone for failures. I am sorry I have let you down and will strive to continue to be a better man each and every day I have left on this earth. It's just like, wow. So just knowing that, you just listen to it, and it's just like, wow, there is something special here.
Yeah.
And it's just like... Panopticon with me took a real special part when he did the split a couple years ago, and he put out the song Ruined Heart for his split with Nakakwin. Yeah, it was that for his son or daughter, the one
his son. His son,
yeah,
his son Ruined.
When it, you know, for me with my heart problems, luckily right now my daughter doesn't have any health problems, but I can't imagine what him and his wife have been through. But you just hear the start of it. The heart machine pumping and beating.
Yeah,
it's like there's something about his music, the way he writes, just pulls you in, and like Autumn Eternal, you hear the streams and it is a beautiful thing.
The way it starts with Tamarack Gold Returns is just like it's the best way to kick off an album.
The 1-2 punch of Tamarack Gold Returns into the North Woods. Mm. It kills me every time, and I feel like there are lots of moments like this on And Again Into the Light, and I keep harping on this track, but it's the one that means the most to me, and it's there's like a little more folky thing that goes into The Embers at Dawn, and it's after Moth-Eaten Soul comes as Golden Laughter Echoes. That's like an acoustic interlude. And then it picks up with the acoustic opening of The Embers at Dawn. And then it just kicks into like full black metal mode. And there's something very magical about the time that it takes to grow into something. Like you're listening to something that builds very, very slowly, but the payoff is so worth it.
You know, I want to quote somebody on Bandcamp. This person Lehman says the two distinct sides of Panopticon twist and meld together here almost to perfection, a distillation of everything wonderful about Austin Lynn. So this is Austin Lynn. Yeah. This is perfect. So Vince, you have your homework cut out for you, bud.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited now to get into this. I love everything that he's done. Fantastic human being. Really insanely nice guy.
You know, there is really something so special about this. When I am the guy who listens to death metal more so than any other genre, because I kind of wanna try and wrap my caveman brain around what lyrics are being said. It doesn't matter with his music. It doesn't matter. It's a thing of beauty.
I don't think he would ever be comfortable admitting it, because I know part of the reason why he doesn't publish a lot of his lyrics is because he doesn't feel like he's a strong lyric writer, but he is.
He is, though.
He is a strong lyric writer.
Like, you can talk about the theme of the album and even not listening to it, knowing that it ends with that song, No Hope, and like having watched the lyric video for that song when it came out as a single, like he is a very strong lyric writer, and this song has this album seems to have a very strong like lyrical flow to it, and it ends on a really beautiful sentiment given the theme of the songs on this album.
Vince, did you catch him at Fire in the Mountains?
Yes, I did. Well, ugh. No, I okay, so here's the thing about that. I did and I didn't. He was not there as a performer the year that I went there, but yeah. I was getting breakfast one morning, and I come out of the cafe that they have there, and I see this dude sitting on a bench, and I'm like holding my coffee. I'm like, oh my God, that's Austin Lund. And he looks at me coming out of the door, and like, this man does not know me, would not know me if he ran me over with his car. And he just slaps the bench down next to him, and he's like, come sit with me. Oh. And so I sat and I had coffee with him and his wife and like a bunch of other random people that I didn't know. And we just talked for like, we talked forever. And he is like just a stupendously nice person. I will never forget like just how generous that guy was to somebody who he didn't even know. Like if he didn't even look at me, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. But not only did he do that, he invited me to like sit and eat with him and talk with him. And it was the weirdest, surrealist, and most magical morning I think I've ever had.
We had the distinct pleasure of being able to visit Hammerheart Brewing Company, which is his brewery that he owns. We didn't meet him there. I don't think he was around, but the vibe of that place, the fact that it's set up as like a longhouse style where I don't want to say you are forced to interact with other people, but the idea is that it breeds an era of hospitality. And we did end up meeting people there who were so nice and so generous. And I feel like that's got to be at least in part due to the spirit of the place that he's like imbuing in there. And the man knows his way around a beer. Like if you think his music is good, and you're into beer, holy shit, some of the best beer I've ever had in my life has come out of Hammerheart Brewing Company. So I don't know that there's anything that he can't do right now. He's like, he's in a renaissance.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely, if it was up to me, that would have been our album of the month, but we got to kind of, we got to share the wealth here.
I might have picked it if I had remembered that it came out in May. I thought it came out later this year.
I'm just joking. Okay.
No,
time is a human construct. Yes.
Time is not real.
Time is
everything's
a flat
fake.
Time is a human construct. And we're all just living in it. That's fine.
So
that's
true. What else do you have, bud?
You, bud.
Oh, me or
yeah,
yes.
I jumped on.
Okay. So I mean, I echo the sentiments of you should listen to that Hadith album because I did. And it was great. Go listen to, and again, Into the Light. It's my favorite thing that I've listened to all year. No disrespect to Pupil Slicer and Capra. They're going to end up in the top three, but It's an album that I did not realize how much I needed until I heard it, and I realized how badly I needed an album like that. The other ones that I want to quickly shout out, there's a split between Psychonaut and Savor called Emerald that came out. And I don't know Savor. They were really good. I enjoyed their half of the split, but I picked it up because on a whim, actually, I lied. Not on a whim, because Kat posted about it in the group chat around the time that Roadburn was happening. And I had about 15 minutes to kill. And I wanted to absorb as much Roadburn content as I could, because I basically binge watched everything that I wanted to on like the last 24 hours that the stream was up. So I checked out Psychonaut's set, and I was not expecting to be as blown away by them as
they're
I was.
They're great, aren't they?
They're amazing. They're incredible. And I don't yes, even really dig like psychedelic proggy stuff. Although I'm more of a prog person than my brother, but I
as
was
we
not
are well aware of. On
I was
podcast.
Not expecting to be. I was not expecting Wait. To get as into that as I was, but they
is Psychonaut Aransi Pazuzu adjacent?
I don't think so.
No,
they're from No, they're from Denmark.
Psychonaut is like a much like a diet Aransi Pazuzu, but Aransi Pazuzu likes their psychedelics to be a little bit more there.
The way
Psychonaut
that they
take their psychedelics and then they're like, oh shit.
The way that they describe themselves is they're heavily inspired by 70s bands like Zeppelin and Floyd, but also by Tool and Amon-Ra, specifically they mentioned.
Okay, see, so, if you tried to sell me on a band that said that they were Amon-Ra meets Pink Floyd, I would be very into that.
Well,
okay,
then
well,
you're
then you
gonna be
like
very
Psychonaut.
Into Psychonaut, yeah.
Awesome. See, yeah. That's the kind of shit that I like. I
not
like
to be confused
like older
with the other band called Psychonaut 4, which is actually more black metal.
No. Yeah. I have checked them out and I do not like them.
They're okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this is Psychonaut and Savor. The split release Emerald is only two songs, and each band does like a 15 to 20 minute song. Mm-hmm. So it's in your wheelhouse and it's really good.
Yes.
What else do I want to talk about?
God, Roadburn was so good.
Roadburn was amazing. We could have a whole separate podcast episode just talking about the stuff that we saw at Roadburn. Yes. Anton recommended me an album by a band called Graveborn, and the album is Transmigrator, and it sounds, it's like a, it's a very punchy, beady album. Like, it's violent. It hits you with force. Death metal. I thought it was really good, but I only just checked it out like yesterday. So I still need some more time to sit with it, but
it's on my list.
Upon first impression, it's really good. It was recommended to me because I really liked the Xenobiotic album that came out last year. It doesn't have quite the same amount of like slammy deathcore stuff going on in it, but it doesn't have much more nuance. It is an album that is very like heavy forward. And then the last two that I want to spend a little bit more time talking about, one of them is the new release from The Flight of Sleipnir, which only just came out like a week ago, but I was fortunate enough to be able to pick up the promo for it. And it was another album that I was not really expecting to like as much as I did, although I am a fan of The Flight of Sleipnir and I like a lot of the things that they do. This album kind of surprised me in a lot of ways because of how much they tried to do with it. It's an album that is decidedly not heavy forward. In fact, the goal for the album was to try to explore softness. It's not heavy, but they play around with dynamics a lot more than they have done in the past. And it also incorporates a lot of the fringe influences that they've been trying to do more of. Like, there's a lot of post-rock elements. There's a lot of, like, I would say 90s alternative / grunge elements. There's a straight up country passage in one of the songs. But it's really cohesive. and it's really wonderful. They do a really great job with uniting all of that stuff and just making, you know, making an album that flows in and that's really texturally interesting. So I was pretty impressed with that. And then the last one that I want to talk about is the new album by Violet Cold, which is called Empire of Love. I mean, I love this band. I love everything that they do. And I don't want to say that they're the kind of band that only makes, well, it's one guy, but I don't want to say that he's the kind of person who makes one album, because he doesn't. He makes black metal albums sometimes. He makes electronic albums sometimes.
Yeah, if you go back to the very beginnings of that band, he was making straight up techno music.
Yeah, he was it. And I think there, you know, Anami was their breakout, his breakout. There are a lot of elements of that on Empire of Love, but there's also a rap break in one of the songs. There's a lot of like hip hop and EDM influences. There's your Azerbaijani folk that shows up. But it's just a really great album. And I don't know. It's just an album that makes me feel warm and happy. The album cover is like the moon and star on a rainbow flag. So obviously there's like a little bit of that. And then one of the songs is called Pride. And it's like, I don't know. There's just something that's really uplifting about a black metal or a black metal adjacent album that has that kind of feeling.
Especially for that territory that it runs in.
Right.
In a particular subgenre that is not always the most welcoming to folks that live on the margins of society.
Right. To diverse lifestyles, let's call it. But Emin Guliev supports you, and he wants you to know that you are seen and valid. And I think really
thank
cool.
You, Emin. Thank you, Emin. I will take this with me and carry it.
I think that's really cool. Anyway, that album makes me very happy whenever I listen to it. So that's the one that I want to sort of close with.
Cool. Okay. Well, I will wrap up the what else we listened to in May segment here. First, starting off with a little probably death black metal project, Xandra. Their album, All Occupied by Soul Death. I think they're from Belarus.
Name, please?
Belarus having a very strong year this year.
K-H-A-N-D-R-A. Xandra. K-H-A-N-D-R-A. All Occupied by Soul Death.
That is a cool-ass album title.
Oh, it's awesome. If you like traditional metal, traditional thrash, Vulture, Dealing Death is a fun little spin.
I've been seeing that one pop up a lot. I haven't gotten around to checking it out, but I heard good things about it.
From Metal Blade, one of my favorite groups on earth, Gwar, released a EP, the disc with no name, a four-song acoustic EP, I should mention.
Acoustic Gwar.
Yep. Playing some of their new songs with Blothar acoustically.
Okay.
They also cover The Road Behind acoustically, so it's pretty cool.
Say what fun you want about disc. Gwar. That band knows how to put on a live show.
Best show I've ever been to.
Oh my goodness.
It's the most barbecue fun I've ever had. Hera mentioned a couple live albums. You know, I love live albums, so I have to mention a couple also that came out this month. If you like a roaring good time and pirate metal, Aelstorm released live in Tilburg.
I've heard interesting things about that album. Most of the people that I talked to do not like it.
I have never
but
seen
it's
Aelstorm.
Them. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, they're admittedly cheesy. It's pirate metal.
The another point is band not for I think that is very good at doing one thing.
Yeah. But I've never seen them live. It's really cool to capture what they would sound like live. It puts on a pretty good show. In Mourning released a live album, Live at Z7. In Mourning's one of my favorite bands. I don't hear talked about
a lot.
They
put out an live album?
Yep.
All right. I know what I'm doing the rest of the day.
And One of my most interviews, I interviewed the Dark Synth Master Perturbator.
Yeah, buddy. I can't wait for that one.
And he released Lustful Sacraments, which is another 46 minutes of Perturbator greatness. This guy's a master at his craft. So if you like him and, you know, his music, that right there is a thing of beauty.
Writing it down in the notebook.
And that's pretty much it there. I'd like to open the floor before we get out of here today on this holiday so everybody can go enjoy the rest of the day. Anybody else have anything else they want to recommend or talk about before we wrap this up?
I'm very excited for new Taikata Falk. Thomas Kajai is the hardest working man in the industry, hands down. I love that man.
Oh my God, I'm so stoked for that too.
I have the promo. I can send it around.
Yes!
Send it, please. I may not always be high on that dude's music, but I respect his work ethic.
I love him so much.
My first review for Nine Circles was Thy Catafalque. Seems like forever ago.
Congrats.
But yeah.
He released an EP before this album comes out in June. The support EP came out, I believe it was in April. It is a reworking of four songs of another album that he released, and it's very good, and you should listen to that if you haven't gotten time to yet.
Mm-hmm.
I love that man. I love that Catafalk so much.
He does put out not just a lot, but also consistently high caliber.
Yes.
Like,
I agree.
There's not only is there no slowing him down, there is also no stopping him.
Nope. That man can do no wrong. No. He does everything. I love him.
Literally, he does everything. He plays like every instrument outside of, you know, he brings in a lot of people to supplement the recording, but he mm-hmm. also like just does everything. Yes. He records it. He produces it. He's just, I don't know. He's got like the galaxy brain going on.
Yeah.
Well, I have been playing a bunch of games. I hope to get back on the train of putting out some more game podcasts. I'm trying to get more interviews with game people going. I don't have anything else on my end. Does Hera or Vince, you guys have anything, or we'll wrap this up? We go on about our days.
You know, speaking of video games, all I've really been doing is playing the Mass Effect remasters, which is something I was excited to get into that the last time we had this podcast. Now I am fully into it. And it's just reminding me of why it's one of my favorite video game series, like ever. I'm so excited to just like be back in this place, and to especially with the first game, because it was like it was the oldest of all of them. It needed a lot of like resurfacing and all that, but seeing everything kind of the way that it was always, I guess, intended to be seen, or the way it's like cleaned up and spruced up now, it's breathtaking, some of the stuff that you find in there, and I'm having so much fun like diving back into this all over again.
I knew you were excited.
I am about to go do that immediately when we end this call.
There we go.
It's for the rest of my day.
Well,
I would just like to say that I haven't had time for video games or anything because work has been, this is the busy season for me, but I will say the things that have been making my day go faster are listening to Buke's stuff that he's been putting out. Like,
yeah, I would like to take this moment to just say that Buke is one of the best people we have on this team as an interviewer and as a speaker. He has done a lot of work in the past couple of weeks. You should all listen to that.
The good shit. Within the last 10 days, there's been an interview with Brian Slagle, like that Brian Slagle, which is mostly about hockey, but it's also entertaining as all shit to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
there's an episode where Buke, you interviewed Hannes Grossman.
When he's, I saw yeah. that and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Right. I said this in our group chat, but I'll echo my sentiments on the actual podcast now. Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts because it's pretty much the only thing that I can do at work. Mm-hmm. It's oftentimes when I see a new episode of a podcast go up and it is over an hour long, I sort of groan to myself. But when I saw that the chat with Hannes Grossman is an hour and a half long, I got stoked that it's going to be an hour and a half of talking to one of the, like, the one of the music world's top dudes right now.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Another person who can just do everything.
Yes.
And then there's the most recent episode of Technically Inclined, which is, you know, keeping that bar set real high, always a fun one to check out. So I just want to say the things that I'd like to shout out are, once again, the other episodes of this podcast, yeah, not this one.
And I just did a, well, I appreciate the fine, the words, because I'm really trying to give people things to listen to, because I love it. I love everybody's stories, and I don't follow a script. If that bothers some people, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. but I just like to just naturally talk to people and see what comes from it.
It's so much better, I think, than just doing like scripted Q&A, to just like remind people that we're all people with like mm-hmm. diverse interests. Like, anybody can interview Brian Slagle and talk about what it's like to run one of the hottest exactly. labels in metal, and like, what do you listen to in your free time? But like, how many people are going to ask Brian Slagle about hockey opinions?
Yeah, what's your Stanley Cup pick?
Yeah, what's your Stanley Cup pick? That's the kind of shit that I want to hear, you know. I want to hear about what people are like outside of, you know, the stuff in their day-to-day lives.
I have an interview
that really well.
I have an interview that should be going up this week. It's from the British band Bosque. It's like atmospheric sludge metal band.
Nice.
I interviewed the bass player Tom Begley, who is the manager for Converge, Whitechapel.
Wow.
So we talk about a bunch of him managing bands and stuff like this. We talk about British food again. So you know, it's really cool, because a lot of people are trying, you know, a lot of people take content in on a lot of different mediums. So I'm really trying to give anybody a chance to listen to everything. And I appreciate the words.
Any day that I refresh my feed and an interview with Buke pops up, I know it's going to be a good day.
God, you guys make me, that really makes me feel happy.
One last thing I want to talk about real quick. My dad wrote a porno, has finally returned from hiatus. So if you're looking to hear about how Kid is reading his dad's porn.
I thought there was going to be a period in the middle of that I was not prepared for.
I have heard so many good things about that show. I'm
one of the funniest podcasts I've heard, and every time an episode comes out, I'm laughing my ass off. So
okay.
You should go listen to that.
I thought you were shouting out your personal dad.
Listen, my dad and I are not on good terms right now, so I would not like to talk about him.
Cool.
But you're not reading his porno.
I also don't want to read that, thank you. But also, the actual podcast, My Dad Wrote a Porno, is hilarious, and you should listen to that.
Maybe I will.
Well, for everybody here at Nine Circles, I say it every time. I personally feel we have the best writers here, because there's a bunch. I'm not talking about our friends on any other sites, because there's the metal community as a whole is great. But we really, our writers here, all you guys here, and everyone who's not on board, really, the personal elements really shine through. And I love how all you guys write when you really, you know, show how much and why a certain thing means to you. And that's what I think our site does best. So as always, ninecircles.co for all these excellent reviews, wherever podcasts are. Obviously you're listening to this one, so you already know that, but please tell a friend, tell a family member.
We don't ask you for things very often.
Yeah. Just spread the word.
Just come join the cult. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. We have music. We're not going to take.
We have all different types of podcasts. We have all different types of blog entries going up all the time. We have a lot of different content for your palate.
Mm-hmm.
We're a nice Brazilian steakhouse here. Or if
I had Korean barbecue yesterday, so yes, I would agree.
I love Korean barbecue.
I don't think I've had Korean barbecue since we went to Denver.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
That's
which is weird because there's Korean barbecue places all over where I am.
Oh, God, I would kill for Korean barbecue right now. Okay, well, for Hera, for Vince, for Ian, I am Buke. Everybody stay safe, continue to be safe. For Memorial Day here in the States, I have to say thank you for anyone who sacrificed their life for ourselves and this country.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever people's beliefs are and stuff, to everybody who paid the ultimate sacrifice, thank you for that. So, everybody have a great day. Have a great month. Until next time, see ya.
Wear your goddamn mask.
Yeah.
Asshole. Do it.